Dear friends, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Welcome to the Overcoming the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony podcast. A companion podcast to the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony message series I preached some years ago. This is episode number 56. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. The purpose of this podcast is to share with you, from a biblical perspective, the means by which we can, in the church particularly, combat and overcome the wicked sin of gluttony and its outcome of obesity and all of the problems that come from that. Our passage from the Word of God for this episode today is Luke chapter 12, verse 23, which reads, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." Now let's look at gluttony and its effects in the news. According to the Weekly, a study from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in the U.S. found the older and more overweight a person was, the more likely they were to not only get the coronavirus, but spread the coronavirus, because they exhale more often. The study observed 18% of the 194 test subjects made up 80% of exhaled aerosol particles while breathing out. After evaluating the relationship between exhaled aerosol particles with age, sex, and body mass index, researchers only found a correlation between BMI and age with the output of breath. Essentially, the older and more overweight a person was, the more likely they were to spread aerosol droplets into the air, and by extension possibly spread the virus. Beloved, in this podcast we are going through the Bible and the book The Rave Diet and Lifestyle, the natural foods diet with meals that heal by Mike Anderson. This section is titled Essential Dietary Guidelines, Part 5. If you think you hate all vegetables, start by simply eating more of the familiar plant foods you do like, such as potatoes and brown rice. There are so many ways to disguise the taste of vegetables with seasonings and sauces that this shouldn't be a barrier. You just have to get a little creative with your food preparation. This may be a challenge at first, but read up on how to prepare vegetables in this book, and also what they can do for you, that is body-wise, which may make them go down a little easier. You see, what he is saying is, in this book, is that vegetables are better for you. The way to combat obesity, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and everything else is to eat more vegetables and to go eventually strictly on a vegetable diet, the rave diet is what he calls it. Just as your taste for meat and dairy products was acquired, you can acquire a taste for foods you thought would be impossible to eat. And I want to encourage you to read this book. It's called The Rave Lifestyle, because very few people have put the situation as clearly as this gentleman, and I want you to get it for your own good and just read it. I believe that if you take heed to it, you will live a healthier life, a better life, and you'll live longer without complications. And then he goes on to say, take bread, for example. If you buy good-tasting whole grain bread in the first place, you should enjoy the taste of the bread by itself without any high-fat toppings. Try it. You can acquire the clean taste of plain bread after just a slice or two, and you'll love it. Some people hate the taste of portobello mushrooms. I do not. In fact, I will have some today. I love mushrooms. Try grilling them with barbecue sauce or A1 steak sauce. They're delicious and a great substitute for hamburgers. And if you absolutely can't stand mushrooms or another plant food, put them in a food processor, then mix them into a meal. Your tastes for food will change with this diet, and you'll find you prefer the cleaner taste of natural foods. We just came off of a 40-day Daniel fast where we just ate vegetables and stuff like, you know, like that, veggie burgers, and, which he suggests that you use in the beginning and then kind of use them sparingly going forward. And that is veggie burgers. That'll help you get through, get you started. And we did this for 40 days and 40 nights, and we didn't miss meat or fish. In fact, this was the fastest fast we've ever experienced. We didn't even think about it. And so you can do it. Now, personally, I suggest, because I've been around vegetarians, and I suggest that you go on something like a Daniel fast, maybe 3 or 4, 5 times a year for 40 days without meat. And then you enjoy a celebration week at the appropriate time. For example, Easter week or Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, special occasions, victorious celebrations about a goal reached or something. For example, every time one of my children graduate from college, we go to Ruby Tuesdays in a certain city. And it just so happens it lands on Mother's Day every day, every time. And we go there and enjoy whatever they want to get, whoever the graduate is, whatever they want to get, and I get what I get and what I want to get, and we just have a celebration. What I'm saying to you is, I don't know how wise it is to just go completely in this day and time vegetarian. So I cannot recommend that, because I have been around some folks who are vegetarians, some with my dear Seventh-day Adventist brothers, and I've seen some sisters too. I've seen some problems. So I think that if you just mix meat in, maybe once a week, if that's, and have Sunday to be a day of celebration, the rest of the week you eat vegetables. Sunday and Monday, you know, you have leftovers. Do something like that instead of just going all the way. Just cut back on it a lot and eat most of the vegetables. But that's my view on it. After eating this way, you'll find that high-fat foods will taste heavy and greasy, and this is true. If you see, now when I eat several days of meat, I get tired of it after a while real quick because of that heavy feeling, greasy, the heavy greasy feeling of it in my body. And you'll notice that when you do eat high fat foods, your entire system slows down and you feel sluggish. Plant foods are bulky, which means you end up eating more food in terms of quantity, but you actually consume fewer calories. And that's one of the benefits of the vegetarian lifestyle, is that you, for example, they'll tell you that you can eat, you know, you can eat salads all day long. For those of us who like to eat, you can eat vegetables all day long. They don't recommend you eat potatoes and pasta all day long, but you can eat certain foods all day long on this rave vegetarian diet, and you will naturally lose weight and get healthier. One of the biggest problems is convenience, in that you usually won't find healthy food at your local convenience store or a fast food restaurant. If I was a true businessman, and I'm going to give you an idea, if I was a true businessman, I would start veggie burger a veggie burger restaurant, and then try to cause it to go across the nation, franchise it out. There's so many different kinds of veggie burgers. You can have a whole menu. You have a menu of 100 different kinds of veggie burgers, and then you change the, you know, the stuff you put on it. And you can sell veggie hot dogs as well. If I was a true businessman, I would do that. I don't have time for it. So you take it and you run with it. I guarantee you, you'll make a killing. And you'll be feeding people a little bit healthier food as well. I know of a lady who started a vegan Mexican restaurant, and she's doing quite well. The plague and the pandemic has hurt her, like it has hurt many others, but she was going big time with it. So it's a thought for those of you who are entrepreneurs. Get out there and get it done. or start a delivery service for that kind of food. Anyway, this diet does not have to be inconvenient. You just have to think ahead and think in terms of whole plant foods. It's easy once you get used to it, see, like anything else. And so, beloved, we will continue looking at this topic and more in our next episode, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Now, beloved, enjoy a good meal. I believe that Christians ought to enjoy the fatted calf on Sundays, if you will. Okay? Enjoy a good meal. We had an extraordinary meal on yesterday. It was not planned, but extraordinary. It was a Sunday meal on Saturday. And I believe God wants you to enjoy that. If you are walking with him, if you are saved, if you are born again, if you are in walking in obedience to him, and he has blessed you to have a celebration meal, have it. I believe every day you ought to have a celebration meal. It does not have to be all three meals, but a celebration meal where you pause and you thank the Lord, and it's something you like, something that you will enjoy. And after church on Sunday, I believe that tradition ought to be brought back. Oh, what meals we used to have on Sunday mornings down in the South. My mother was raised by old school women, and my mother knew how to put it together. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. She put her foot in the Sunday meal. Now, we may not have eaten that much throughout the week, good food, but she would put her foot in it on Sunday. And I would have to muscle my way in there before the big fat preachers would come in and get that fried chicken and potato salad, real potato salad. See, they didn't buy a potato salad from the store. We didn't know what that was. Bless your heart. I don't think they even sold potato salad, because they knew they couldn't touch what mama could do with some real potato salad. And so I would muscle my way before I ran back to try to catch the last quarter of the Dallas Cowboys whipping up on the Redskins, because, you know, these black folks didn't know how to get out of church on time. They just, no concept of getting out at 12 o'clock. And so I had to go out, and I was serious about my food. My mother's cooking. I remember sometimes asking my mother to cook. And so I think we ought to bring back the Sunday meal, man. And it's okay. But just, you can't eat like that every day. That's why we, see, the reason why I'm doing this podcast, because most of the church is fat. I know you, some of you women don't like me to say that, but most of the church is fat. And a word you really don't want me to say is obese. That's like a cuss word to a black woman. Don't ever call her obese now. Don't mention that. Doctors, I'm talking to you too. Don't tell her she's obese now. Even though she is. And you people can lie about it's a thyroid problem and all that, all you want to know. I'm sure there's a few who have that problem. But the truth of the matter is, it is an overeating problem. You're eating too much. And God wants you to stop it. And the reason why I preached about 200 messages on this is online. You can go and hear it. People got mad at me for preaching it. Is because most people in the church, especially in the black church, but in the white church too, And in the Mexican church, we're overweight. The Hispanic church. And we're overweight because we're greedy. We're eating too much. Just like the hedge fund guys on Wall Street are greedy, we're greedy for food. And it's a shame before God. And God has been very gracious and patient and merciful with us and about it, but it's killing us, just like any other disease. A lot of folk are in the grave. Before the plague pandemic, folks in the church were dying from overeating. Potato salad is all right on Sunday afternoon, but not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Fried chicken is all right, a couple of pieces, on Sunday afternoon, my beloved, but not every day. And so, and then when we do eat a special meal, we need to make sure we don't overdo it. And those of you who can't handle one glass of wine, then don't do any. Don't do wine. Don't do any alcohol. If you can't handle it, see, if you're the kind of person, you can't be satisfied with a glass of wine with your meal and that's it. You got to try to get halfway to heaven, try to get high, then you don't need to mess with it, because the Bible tells you to only drink alcohol, drink wine. Wine now, not all this other stuff. Wine is not in the category of Hennessy. That's not in the Bible. I mean, there's some strong drinks in the Bible, but I don't think Hennessy is in there. Wine is the blessed beverage in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. But like any good thing, like food, you can overdo it. And if you have a problem with self-control and you always want to try to get halfway to heaven, you want to get that high, then, you know, and you're not drinking in moderation, one good glass of wine should be sufficient, and it will help you with your digestion and food and all of that, because it cleanses out your palate, your veins, and everything else. And if you did that with that kind of greasy food, you wouldn't have diabetes and be taking all these pills that are killing you. Let me tell you, see, you all have learned too late. Metformin will kill you. All these pills that the doctors give you for diabetes, those pills, they'll kill you. And they'll cause you more health problems than just eating right. And Dr. Mike Anderson said that salad is a good breakfast. I don't believe him, but that's what he says now. And I'm going to try it. I have not tried it yet, but I do know this. A good salad without a whole lot of stuff on it is a good meal. It can be a meal, especially when you get older. And nothing will help cleanse out your system like a good salad. I hate to talk about that, but that's true. I'm trying to help you. This is all in the Bible. Gluttony is a sin against God. And God has been very gracious to us. But see, most of the people who are dying of the coronavirus, they're overweight. And so that's why we got more black folk dying and more Hispanic people dying than white folks. Don't get mad at me. Don't call Black Lives Matter on me, man. I'm not scared of them. I'm just stating facts. And some of them out there marching. They need to keep on marching because they young people are fat or overweight, obese. They need to keep on marching. I was glad to see some of them march, white and black. They need to march on. And some of them I guarantee you, they lost some weight and they felt better out there marching. Just make sure you march for the right stuff. So with that, my beloved, be blessed today. Hopefully you have already shopped for your food and you can go ahead on. And see, there's great pleasure and great joy in the whole process of putting on a great meal. And I feel sorry for people who can't enjoy a great meal. I don't know. I just feel sorry for you. You don't. You probably not going to heaven. You're probably not going to heaven. Bless your little heart. I don't know. I hope you are. But if you can't enjoy a good meal on Sunday afternoon, or any day of the week, if that's not a high point of celebration, a moment of celebration, you blessed people, God bless your heart. Who, I just eat for sustenance. You go right ahead. God bless you. I hope you love it. I hope you like it. But I believe we all should eat for sustenance. But your meal, you ought to be enjoyable. Back in the old days, the women would make the meals and stand at the counter and just enjoy and bask in the praise of the men of the family, the husband, the grandfather, the boys, the teenagers. And they just loved it when the teenage boys would clean their plate and want some more. They knew they had it going on then. They enjoyed their meals. There's something wrong with some of you people where you don't even enjoy your meal anymore. You're not even happy about a good meal. What is the problem? What is the problem? What's wrong with you? If you can't enjoy a good meal, I don't know about you. I don't even know if you're going to heaven, because we're going to celebrate up there. God, listen to me. God is the God of celebration, because he's the God of victory. As the old saints used to say, and as I repeated yesterday, God can do anything but fail. You're on the winning side. I shall never forget Curtis Hudson, the editor of The Sword of the Lord after John R. Rice. Old postman, that's all he. Never went to Bible college, and then became president of Bible college. And but he was a soul winner from his heart. And he got he was dying of prostate cancer, and one night in Charlotte, he ran back, and he can sing better than me, but he can't sing that well. But he ran back. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will help people who can't sing, and the words will penetrate, even though they can't carry a tune in a jar. He ran back one Sunday night before he died and said, "We're on the winning side." He's a white guy. Then they had that twang in there. "We're on the winning side." He said, "We're on the winning side. Yes, we're on the winning side." And na 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 na. "We're on the winning side. Oh yes, we're on the winning side." He was dying of prostate cancer. Thin as a rail. "We're on the winning side with our Lord." You're on the winning side, brothers and sisters in Christ. Be happy in Jesus. And some of you people need to choose to be happy. Maybe you are saved. You don't look like you're saved. You look like you swallowed a curtain rod, but show it. If you are saved, let Christ come through and shine through your face, and stop putting your light under a bushel, and be a light for the Lord. Let other people know that Jesus lives in you. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be before you and before your people, trying to help them with your holy word, even on a subject like this, which we don't hear much about, but we do need to hear more about. Help us, Holy Father God, even today, help us to confess our sin of gluttony. Lord, help every overweight person, or every obese person, every fat person in your church. Thank you for your grace, because you've been a little bit lighter on us than about some other sins. But this is a sin that you have brought to my attention in the church and in our lives. And we tried to laugh it off. We even laugh it off. We've joked about it in the past. But now, Lord, you want us to humble ourselves, pray, seek your face, and repent of this sin as well, and get back to you, our first love. And we can easily do it by following the wise advice of Dr. Mike Anderson in the RAVE diet and lifestyle, by just cutting out all meats and all fats like that, and eat vegetables which you provided for us. And Lord, he's right. There's sometimes the vegetables they taste better than the meat sometimes. He's right. And it's better for us. And we all know many benefits from it. And many benefits. So Lord, help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Help us to do the right thing. And even though, Lord, I don't think we need to go 100%, I do believe that there are days when we ought to kill the fatted calf. And after 40 days of fasting, Lord, surely a celebration day ought to be in there where we kill the fatted calf. Anniversaries, birthdays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, the high and holy days, Passover, the first day of the Jewish New Year, we ought to kill the fatted calf and give you glory, praise, and honor. And Lord, I thank you so much for what you've already done in my heart and in the hearts of your people already. I give you the glory, praise, and honor. I cannot thank you enough, and I do not take it for granted. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. And let me just say this, something that's going to upset a few of you. It may disturb you, so be warned. One of the benefits of eating a vegetarian diet is that your bathroom won't stink. Let me just put it like that. Okay? I'm convinced that if we all had started out eating right, we would have never had the issues that we've all had to suffer from others and from ourselves, of stinky bathrooms. You see, when you eat meat, that's going to stink when you go to the bathroom. If you eat vegetables, not so much. Now, I know some of y'all don't like that, but that'll help you. And if you want more peace in the home and you don't want anybody going by your bathroom saying, "Woo!" Eat more vegetables. Stay away from the meat and cheese and all of that. One black lady is famous for nonchalantly saying, matter-of-factly saying, see, now black folk for some reason love cheese. She said, I don't know why, but we need to leave that alone. And by the way, a little ice cream every now and then, there's nothing wrong with that. ice cream and apple pie, and there's nothing wrong with that. Every now and then, on a celebration Sunday or a celebration, you do that only once a month, though. You don't do that every Sunday. That apple pie will stick with you for a while. But anyway, I want to thank my producer on this podcast, Daniqua Grace White, for having that ready for us this morning. It's been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing to me, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. Now, my beloved, in this series, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly, must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die. We all will. And the only thing that will matter in this world is the condition of your soul. And so I ask you today, is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and the consequences of sin. He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in hell. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here is how you can trust Him today. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because of what their friends and their family members might say, and unbelieving, those who claim to be agnostics and atheists, and the abominable, cruel and mean and nasty people who do abominable things, abominations, and murderers, people who kill others, and whoremongers, people who have sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. In fact, he suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today, and he will save your soul. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I realize and I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins by your grace and by your help. Help me to repent of my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and with your help, I will follow him as my Lord from this day forward. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life forever today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.